He persecuted them to death. And he worked with a diligence which nobody ever before him had ever worked with to destroy the church. There is the comparison. But then there's one important difference about Paul. He turned around and went in the opposite direction. He turned around from being a persecutor of the church and became the greatest, and many regard as the greatest apostle. Many regard him as greater even than the 12 apostles. Now notice, here is the comparison and the contrast. If you want to understand the Antichrist, you have to understand him in the light of Paul. Think of Paul now. He was a persecutor of the church, merciless, pitiless, blaspheming, but he says, I did it in ignorance. I didn't know what I was doing at that time. Now there is the difference from the Antichrist. The Antichrist knows perfectly well what he was doing, or what he will be doing. Paul didn't at the time. So Paul goes from being persecutor to becoming the greatest apostle. The Antichrist will go in the opposite direction. From a great apostle, the greatest in his time, when he will come, to becoming a persecutor of the church. Now do you see the picture? They both are the chief of sinners. What is the difference? The difference is in the direction they go. Paul goes from the chief of sinners, from the persecutor of the church, to becoming an apostle. Faithful unto death, until he himself lays down his life. The Antichrist goes from chief apostle in his time to becoming a persecutor of the church and a destroyer of the church without mercy. The difference was the apostle Paul, because he began as a persecutor, didn't realize what he was doing. The dreadful difference of the Antichrist is he knows perfectly well what he is doing. And that is why no mercy will be shown to him at the judgment. None whatever. Revelation says that he will be cast into the abyss with Satan. No mercy will be shown to him at the judgment, because he sins deliberately for which there is no sacrifice. Now let me pause one moment again with the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is one of the most astonishing examples of God's transforming power in the history of the world. Even the New Testament scholars today, the most critical, the most unsympathetic, the most liberal, the most radical scholars, admit that they have no way to understand the Apostle Paul. And because we are familiar with the name of the Apostle Paul, we are not often familiar with the fact that he who was once darkness, and darkness of the greatest kind, was transformed into light, and light of the greatest kind. I said at the beginning of this message that one of the most amazing things, one of the greatest evidences of the fact that God is the living God, is that he can take a sinner and make a saint out of him. That takes a power beyond which there is no greater power. The power to make a new person out of someone who is rotten, degraded, transformed, this person. I have seen and I have heard the testimony myself of mafia men, mafia gangsters, who became a preacher of the gospel. There is no sin too difficult, too dark, for God to forgive and to transform that sinner. And that's why I said at the beginning, one of the most amazing things about serving God is to see lives transformed. And today I'm not asking you just to see lives transformed. Like you yourself experience that transforming power. Then you know why God is real. Why is God real to me? Because I have seen what he has done with me, and I have testified about that in other places. I dread to think what kind of a person I would have been if God hadn't transformed me. What kind of a person was Paul? Why did a persecutor of the church, have you ever thought about that? Why did that ruthless persecutor of the church suddenly become transformed and become an apostle? That's why I say even the most antagonistic people to the gospel don't know what the answer to that is. Paul himself explains it, that because he saw Jesus on the Damascus road, he met with Jesus. That's what transformed his life. There's no one who has ever been able to give another explanation. None whatever. That is the amazing power of God. But what happened with the Antichrist? The Antichrist went in the opposite direction. And he became, from becoming an apostle, became a persecutor of the church. And even worse, you know what he wants to do? It tells us there, he wants to become God himself. He wants to take God's place. That we already read in Revelation 13. We read it also in this passage here, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And let me read it to you. It's in the next verse. We read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Now we read verse 4. And this is what we read about the Antichrist. He opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. He now has become arrogant to the point that he himself wants to displace his master. Once he was following God, like Judas, like Paul, but now he wants not only to be an apostle, he wants to be God himself. The parallel with the Apostle Paul is also very interesting. Do you know that they tried to make God out of the Apostle Paul? That's very interesting. There you have the other parallel. But by that time, Paul would not have hear of this. Where does this happen? It's in Acts chapter 14. Let me read to you this very interesting account in Acts chapter 14, where they tried to make Paul a god, but he didn't want to hear of it. And we read about this in verse 8. It starts at verse 8, but our time is going now, so we will only read at verse 11. And when the multitude saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Lyconian language, "The gods have become like men and have come down to us." And verse 12, and they began calling Barnabas Zeus and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. And verse 13, and the priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates and wanted to offer sacrifice to Paul and to Barnabas together with the crowd. In other words, to offer sacrifice is to worship them. Paul had just done a miracle, an amazing miracle. And the response of the crowd was, "Whoa, this is a god. These are gods. We got to worship them. They're going to offer sacrifices to them." And Paul says, no. Verse 14 goes on to tell how Paul and Barnabas said, stop, don't worship us. We are not gods. We are not gods. And so they went on. But the Antichrist will do nothing of the kind. When you want to worship him, he is very pleased to accept the worship. In fact, he will demand worship. How remarkable. Now, you know what is the reason for their wanting to worship Paul? I just mentioned it's because of the miracle. Well, turn back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and you'll see the parallel again. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 tells us that the Antichrist, through the power of Satan, will be performing miracles, amazing miracles. And these miracles we read about in verse 9 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The one coming, that is the Antichrist, is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all powers, signs, and wonders. That's why I said at the beginning, how would you like to be persecuted by somebody who is an apostle and who performed in the past and will still perform? Powers, signs, and wonders. Amazing. And you know, there is something also amazing when you study the New Testament. The three words here, power, signs, and wonders, is used in that combination only a few times in the New Testament. But in that particular order, signs, powers, and wonders, in that particular order, powers, signs, and wonders occurs only once. And that is in Romans chapter 15 and verse 19. And do you know who it is applied to in Romans 15, 19? Maybe you've guessed it. It is the Apostle Paul. Coincidence? Not in Scripture, it isn't. Let me read to you Romans chapter 15 and verse 19. And this is what it says here. Verse 18, we'll start. For I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed. Now notice exactly the same words occurring now, verse 19, in the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and round about as far as Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Those three words, in that same order, occur in connection with the ministry of the Apostle Paul. All this causes us to see, that the Antichrist in all these points, remember, the blasphemies, the man of sin, the persecution, the miracles, in every point, he is exactly like the Apostle Paul. What is the vital difference? And it's on this point of difference that we have to close. The vital difference is the direction. If you are a worker today, a full-time worker, or even just a Christian today, don't sit back in confidence and think that you are safe, you are secure. There is coming, the Bible warns us, an Antichrist whose spiritual stature will rival that of the Apostle Paul. A teacher in the church. And you remember in 1 John that the Antichrists are all false teachers. But they will not be manifestly false. That is, you will not know right away whether they are false or not. That's the problem. In fact, as you know, the 12 apostles didn't know who was going to betray the Lord Jesus. They didn't know that one of the 12 apostles, one of themselves, would betray him. They didn't know that. And that is the frightening thing about the Antichrist. He will rise up in the church, a preacher of extraordinary power, a doer of miracles. And he will become a persecutor of the church without limit, without measure, like the Apostle Paul. And you wouldn't be able to tell the difference. And the most frightening thing is when he persecutes you. You will be persecuted not by a non-Christian, which will be easier to take, isn't it? But by an apostle, a leader, a topmost leader of the church. How can we take that? And not just a great preacher, but somebody who can demonstrate before your eyes, to your astonishment, miracles, signs, wonders. And would you be able to tell by whose power he is doing it? Yes, the Bible tells us here in 2 Thessalonians that he will do it by the power of Satan. But will you be able to see the power of Satan? No, it's hidden. The difference between him and Paul, as we see in Romans chapter 15, verse 19, is that Paul says it's by the power of the Spirit that he does his miracles. But could you tell the difference? I fear on that day there will be a great apostasy. Not just because there is persecution, but because who it is that is doing the persecuting. That is the terrifying thing about it. Will you be able to stand on that day, faithful unto death? Now we can understand why Paul says the strange words in Galatians chapter 1. He says a very strange thing. He says this: if I, even I myself, should preach another gospel to you. How can he himself? He said, if I, Paul, change in the future and preach a gospel different from the one that I have preached to you now, then don't you believe it. Not even if I was the one and came back in 5 years' time to you and said, I, Paul, remember I preached to you a gospel before? Well, now I'm going to preach another gospel to you. You said, and Paul is saying, don't listen to me. I think that's a very strange statement to make. Paul said, if I ever change, don't listen to me in the future. The gospel which I have preached to you is the true one. And if I myself should preach another gospel to you in the future, you don't listen to me. Or even if an angel from heaven should preach another gospel to you, don't listen to that either. Amazing. Strange statement, isn't it? He even banks on the possibility, even the mere suggestion, that should he himself change? Could it be that he was already aware that somebody else like himself, an apostle like himself, would come and preach another gospel? Yeah. Unless he was considering that possibility, the words in Galatians 1 are meaningless, isn't it? He was clearly already thinking of the Antichrist. Apparently, Paul was aware that the Antichrist will be an apostle like himself, who would, however, be preaching a different gospel, by doing signs and wonders. We must end this message. Shocking and frightening message that it is. But I have shown you from the scriptures that the scriptures have known it all along. It has been revealed to us, and I have expounded it to you. Beware of another Apostle Paul who will come and preach another gospel with signs and wonders and miracles such as will astonish all of us. And that man will persecute the church. But of course, the church that he persecutes, he will describe as the false church. And the message that he preaches, he will describe as the true message. Not the one that Paul preached, but the one that he preaches. Stand fast, brothers and sisters. For that day is not far off. Not far off. How can we be sure that we can stand fast on that day? There is only one way, brothers and sisters. The direction in which you move is all important. You may hate the gospel now, as Paul once did. That doesn't matter. That's not even the most terrible thing. Provided that your heart is open to the truth and you are going in the right direction. Remember, the direction is all that matters. For Paul, it was from persecution to becoming the chief apostle. For the Antichrist, it is from becoming chief apostle to becoming the destroyer of the church. The fact that today you are a Christian, or a full-time worker, or in training, proves nothing. Mark my words, it proves nothing. Always remember that Judas was also an apostle. It is the direction. Judas also went in the opposite direction from Paul. From apostle to traitor. What was Paul's secret? We see it all in Philippians chapter 3. Verses 14 and 15, verses which should be very familiar to us. Forgetting that which is behind, Paul says, I press forward towards the mark. And I go for the goal with everything that is within me. The direction and the intensity in which you move in that direction is the second and last point. Remember in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, I labor harder than they all. So he goes in the right direction, the upward direction, and he not only keeps going, he goes there with an intensity that leaves all the others behind. The reason why Paul was so outstanding was not merely that he went in the right direction, but with what intensity he went in that direction is what leaves us all in the shade. Are you going in the right direction? So let me close the message today. Have you experienced for yourself God's transforming power in your life in such a way that you can say, I know whom I have believed? That's what the Apostle Paul says. Because of what he has done in me, I know whom I have believed. Can you say that? Secondly, are you going in the right direction in the upward call of God? And thirdly, are you going with the intensity that Paul had, which says, I labor harder than they all. I am the least of the apostles because I persecute the church of God, but I am going with the intensity that none of them can even catch up on me. But not because of me. It is the grace of God that I am drawing upon and which is working in me. Let us pray.